We shall go on to the end. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength in you. We shall never surrender. We shall never surrender.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode number 60. Of the Art of Surrender. I'm joined by James Woodfield Jones, or Professor James Woodfield Jones of Sustainable Jiu-Jitsu. Returning guest, been on the podcast a bunch of times now, one of my coaches and friends. James, it's always a pleasure, mate. I hope you're going well. How's things on your end? How are you?
Thank you, mate. Thank you for having me, and congratulations on 60 episodes.
Yeah, I know.
That's pretty Hollywood. Well done, mate. That's good.
I know.
I'm good. I'm very good. Thank you very much, mate. I'm doing well over here. Everything's sort of getting back to normal again now. So, onwards and upwards, mate. It's good. I'm on the mats all day, every day. So I'm happy. Family's good. Jiu-jitsu training. I'm happy, mate.
So life's good then. Yeah.
It is good.
60 episodes, it's something. I remember getting to 50 and feel like, you know, you raise the bat. That's a half century. I'll take it. Hundreds the one where you like really celebrate. But 60 still feels nice. You know, it's nice to get out of the 50s and kind of like keep it going. I'm talking cricket references here, you know, same thing though. Being at it though, what was it? February 2020, I think right when COVID hit was when I started the podcast, or I think yeah. I might've started it, did the first episode with Jamil, as you know. Mm-hmm. And then right after that, COVID became a thing, and that kind of was like perfect timing because I was at home, couldn't really do too much. So I was doing podcasts and ebbs and flows, you know, phases where it's like every week, then it might be fortnightly, then I'm like a little bit slack and it's once a month. But all in all, try to stay consistent, try to at least get a couple every month and just enjoy the process, and slowly but surely we'll get to 100 episodes. And recently had, you know, all the merch release and things like that, had a heap of support. Mark helped me sell a lot of them, and he's obviously, his clients in his new gym are like loving it. So life's good, man. I'm enjoying it. I'm very, very grateful to have started something like this, not thinking too far ahead, like, you know, 2.5 years ago. Launched it, started it, never knew Jamil, kind of first episode out of the way through that. Like, obviously I know Mark, I met you, we've done episodes. You might have been episode number 5 to begin with. I'll check while we talk. But yeah, just kind of like get it started, man, and like plant the seeds and then just keep watering it, you know, and hope and just go from there. You episode number 3.
So, episode number 3. Wow. Well,
and I mean, you've been on a, this might be your fourth or fifth episode now. So you've been on a few of them.
Well, mate, it's a pleasure. Honor and a pleasure, mate. And you know what? I think you hit nailed it as well with, you know, enjoying it, not to force it. That's important, not to force anything. Hey, just let it take its place.
Yeah.
Anything forced is not worth having anyway. On the mats, off the mats, it's not worth forcing anything. If you enjoy it, as you said best, and you just let it happen organically, and already you're 60. Soon enough, you'll be 100, 200, 300, and it's enjoyable for the people that you talk to and the people that talk to you. So well done, mate. It's good.
Yeah, thank you, mate. Yeah, and that's it. It is enjoyable. You know, I have times where like I meet new people, talk to someone I don't know, but like my favorite episodes are like the returning guests, the people that I know, the people that I like choose to talk to and want to talk to. And I like, hey, James, you want to do a podcast? And we schedule one in, and every like 3-4 months, it's good to do one, catch up. Obviously, I'm in Sydney, you're in Perth. So, you know, probably don't see each other as much as we would if I was in Perth. You know, I'd probably be seeing you at the gym every week. But, you know, we do the best we can and keep in touch. And when I visit, you know, no doubt I'll come and train with you, and we'll, you know, instead of talking about jiu-jitsu, we'll be on the mats feeling it and doing it.
Mate, I look forward to all. Hopefully, mate, hopefully November. I speak to John the other day.
Yep.
At High Jiu-Jitsu, and nothing's confirmed, but we're talking about November. I come to see you guys.
Beautiful.
I'm super excited to do that because I want to come and share some stuff with you guys and leave it with John and have them play with it and expand on it and use it as they will. And it'd be good to hang out with. And everything's energy, right? It takes a lot of energy to do these things for you.
Yeah.
It's energy. And like you said, you got to enjoy the conversation. You got to have that back and forth and just let it flow. So it's good. And here's a question for you. How are you, mate? Because I hear you had something recently done with your knee.
I'm going all right. Busy with work. The girlfriend, you know, trying to stay on top of my jiu-jitsu. Haven't been doing all that much myself. So knee surgery, ACL, full ACL reconstruction, a little bit of meniscus taken out. I had a MCL strain as well. PCL was okay. LCL was okay. But mostly obviously complete ACL rupture. So that's like, you know, might as well fucking throw in the kitchen sink out with it if you're going to do that one. But what is it? I had the surgery. I think I injured it in January or so, or sometime through January. I think it was like 7 weeks of rehab before the surgery, which was 31st of March, if I'm not mistaken. So I'm like 3 months out now. Mm. The knee's feeling good. Last night, I just got a gym membership. I was kind of like, my physio's been pushing me the last few weeks. Brad, you need to get a gym membership. I'd been kind of like making do with 16 kilo kettlebell, a couple of 10 kilo ones, doing, you know, all sorts of work with that. But it's just got to the point where I need to, you know, like I get some equipment so I can do a little bit more and do a little bit heavier as well. So I was at the gym doing, what was it, leg press 60 kilos, which is like absolutely nothing, but starting on that just to see how it felt. Moved it up to 80. That felt okay. We'll go from there. I could do more. I think in the past, before I was injured, I was like doing around 140, maybe 150 on the leg press, which is not massive amount. You know, like there's a lot of people a lot bigger than me, but 150 kind of shows you maybe where I'm at normally. So 80 is like half of that. I don't know what I could have pushed it to, but it was the first time lifting that kind of weight. So I was just wanted to feel the movement, and I got enough of a burn that like I'm sore today. So happy with it. I'll take my time and I'll build up and you know,
mate.
It'll come.
100%. But you got to be careful with it as well. So you got to build it back properly. Cause like, let's say you go and jump into 100 kilos or 140 kilos again, like you said, and you end up hurting it again. Just put you backwards. I would say this though, bro, because I know you had neck pain as well and you had a bit of time off for your neck pain. And then randomly, you know, accidents happen with your knee. But well done for holding it together, mate. You've done well because you had a bit of a spiral of quite a few things happen which kept you off the mats.
Yeah.
So, you know, from a coach's point of view and a friend and a human's point of view, well done, mate. That's just as important on the mats as off the mats to control your mind. And done.
Physical, mental, emotional.
Ever since
you said that to me, I say it on here. I almost say it as if it's like my thing, but it's obviously yours. But
anyone who gets it, mate.
Yeah, I live by it. I talk about it. Even at work and stuff, you know, mental, physical, mental, emotional. But it's been hard, man. Like I've had. I've had a fractured skull. I don't know if you know anything about that. When I was like 20, I don't even think I've talked about it on the podcast. When I was 20, I got bottled at a party and ended up with a fractured skull. That was like a pretty serious injury. I almost died. Like it was bad. I like had to delay my uni degree, dropped out of a couple of units because I needed to like, I was fucked up pretty much. Took me like 6 months like to kind of get back to, you know, being able to like read and write. It's not like I couldn't read and write, but just looking at bright screens would just kill me. I'd read and not remember anything and all that stuff. So like I had to take time. It took time. I got back. I, you know, overcame that. Then I broke my ankle playing AFL right before I moved to Sydney. So I snapped my ankle clean off. All three ligaments completely ruptured. Like that was bad as well. I don't know if you've seen that on my Instagram, but if you scroll through my feed, you'll find it. Then obviously, as you know, my neck, artificial disc replacement, which that's like even the knee now is like the most recent injury and that's an ongoing one. But the neck is like the one that is kind of like I'm always living with pain with that, and it's a fucking problem. Like I haven't for almost 2.5 years now, I don't feel like I've been able to like get on the mats and like go after people, if that makes sense, and like feel and just feel healthy. I'm like always fucking nursing something and feeling 50%, but keep trying to learn, keep trying to improve off the mat. So I'm kind of like, I split a lot of my like study. I do mostly Professor Pedro Sauer stuff. I have a lot on YouTube. I have like all of his videos saved in a playlist. I study, I have all of his, a lot of other content too. I've built this little playlist too for Joe Moreira. He's got a lot of content on YouTube. So I follow a lot of his stuff as well. And I don't know if you notice your YouTube views going up here and there, but I'm also like sneaking on and watching some of your stuff too.
No, mate, yeah, I've got to put some more time into that. That with the YouTube content, and that's excellent, mate, to have that. You've got a good list there. It's just time, bro, and time and energy, because I'm coaching all day. And it's just, you know, finding the time to actually, you know, do that. But in the future, I'm playing around with lots of different things. Nothing will take me away from the mats, mate. I love the mats. I love being on the mats. But I am in the next, you know, this leading this year and then into next year. I've got to put some time so I can really put some time into some content, like spend half a day filming and stuff like that. And I really want to put that up. But I did notice it go up, and I appreciate it. It's nothing I force. I put it on there, got jibs and jabs. I could go into so much detail. It's like, you know, I will do in the future when I've got a little bit of time and I can put some more time into it. But I'm glad you're looking at it.
Yeah, no worries. I do enjoy it. And like there's the turtle one, attacking the turtle. I think there's three or four videos on that. I really like that one. In particular, the one I've taken the most from is when they try to turn and face to guard, and you like kind of like squash, you like kind of go in heavy with your hips there. I've like figured that out now. Excellent. So I use that well. You've got the 6 videos on the bottom crossbody, which was actually a seminar that I was at. So yes. I remember that, but then rewatching it, you know, I could watch it in 6 months now and probably pick up details I'm not even noticing.
Mate, 100%. And that's really well said, Ben, because that's what it's for. And I've evolved 3 times since that workshop. Evolving, and it is that, but it's more, and that's so cool, because you know your game's evolved, the understanding of your mind and your body and lots of different things are going on, which then you can look at something and you're in a different place now, so you can see more. It's kind of like a good book, isn't it? You read it when you're 25 and then you read it when you're 35,
you pick up different things.
I think that's really, really cool. You know, as long as for me, everything's got to be efficient and effective, bro.
Yeah.
You know, you'll hear me say that all the time. I'm obsessed with that, but that's really what it is, because, you know, whether you're in the sport content, in the self-defense content, or just on the mats, you want to be the best you can do it, be at doing it, and the most efficient. And so you keep safe, so you don't have no sore knees, no sore necks. You know, you've got to be super smart, super smart. So, no, I'm glad you enjoy it. But, yeah, they're on there, and there will be more. All in good time, and I got a lot of other things that I want to do, and it looks like I'm going to Indonesia to do a seminar in August.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So a client and friend and a gentleman who was on the trainers program years ago, I've probably been dealing with Yuri and mentoring Yuri for about 15 years. He's a good guy. I like him. Nice guy. So finally get to go over there and see him again and help him. And I believe his coach is coming over in September. Chris Howders are coming over there. So it's going to be good. And then hopefully come see you guys in November. I've got Master Joe here in October.
Okay.
October. So awesome. And then Brazil's on the cards probably early next year.
Okay, that sounds good. So Indonesia, is there an academy over there, or are you just trying to help out your friend? Or
he's got a small academy over there. Yeah.
Yep.
Yuri's been doing martial arts for a long time, so he's got his own skill set, stand, clinch, ground. He's a brown belt, and he's a good guy, so I'm looking forward to going over and sharing with him.
Yeah,
just helping, you know, reconnecting, like I said, good people. He's a good guy.
Whereabouts are they in Indo?
Sorry, mate?
Whereabouts is he in Indonesia?
He's in Jakarta.
Jakarta, okay. Yeah, will you take your family and have a little bit of a holiday while you're there, or is it just a bit of a work trip?
It'll be work, yeah, because I get home back for my studio and my clients.
Yeah.
And of course, get back for family. So it'll probably be a Friday to Sunday.
Yeah,
Friday
yeah.
To Sunday, leave Friday or get there Friday morning and then come back Sunday. Yeah, Jakarta is very handy here. We're like 3.5 hours to Bali, 3 hours to Bali, and then short flight or whatnot. It's probably longer sitting in the car in Jakarta because the traffic is horrendous.
Right. Do you know it's a city that's sinking? Jakarta?
Really?
Do you know that?
I don't
yeah.
know if I want to hear that before August.
No, it's not. So they're actually, I don't know too much about the history of it, so I might butcher some of it, but I think it was like many, many years ago, I think it might have been the Dutch that took them over, and you know, like had influence over the city at the time. And while they did sort of have control, they were trying to build, you know, how they have all the canals and stuff like that, like in the Netherlands and things. I think they were trying to make the city a little bit like that, and they didn't kind of like build the footing too well. And it's essentially like the city is sinking. And they're actually, it's going to get to the point where the capital of Indonesia is Jakarta. They're going to have to move the capital city to a neighboring island. So that's, yeah. I don't know if you're interested, you can check it out on YouTube. There's like a nice little documentary on it that's like 10 minutes that talks about it. It's pretty interesting.
Wow, that's fascinating. Yeah, nothing surprises me anymore, mate.
Yeah.
Very, very interesting though. But I haven't been to Bali. I've only ever been to Bali twice, believe it or not. 99 and then a workshop seminar over there in, I think, 2015.
Okay.
And then Jakarta. So, but it's very handy to us. And very interesting though, it's sinking. I'm going to jump onto that YouTube clip.
Yeah. That is interesting. You mentioned higher jiu-jitsu. Did you say September? What's the...
November. Chatting back and forth to John.
Yep. What's that look like?
I believe he's got a lot of things going on around August, September, with some coaches who are going to be coaching around your studio or at your studio, I believe. And then, so he thought maybe November. So hopefully, fingers crossed, November we'll do it.
Yeah, they're doing a I think this weekend they have a seminar. It's a black belt that sort of John trained with when he was developing, as a white belt and stuff like that. And then I think it might be September. They're having like, it's essentially a Pedro Sauer Association, almost like a camp, and like four or five of the black belts from Australia are going to be there. And it's over like 4 or 5 days or something like that. Different coaching coming together and all that sort of thing. So I think that's probably why there's like a lot happening. And, you know, I spoke to John about it too, because I think you mentioned me, and he's like, "Have you heard from John?" And I was like, "Fucking hell! All right, John, what's going on? Are we doing this or what?" And he's just like, "Brad, I have so much going on. Like, yes, we are. We just gotta make it work."
It will happen. I know what it's like, mate. Again, let it organically happen. There's no pressure from my side. I'm just excited to come over and hang out with you guys and share some stuff.
Yeah,
you guys, I think you'll enjoy it. But yeah, mate, it's all in good time. All in the time. And I know busy, mate. He's got two studios now, or a third,
Two. Yeah. So two. one in Woolloomooloo in the city.
Yeah.
And then another one in Sydenham. So yeah, second one open, trying to make it all work. And
second child.
Second child. Yeah, the first one's young. Yeah, he's a very, very busy man. He's trying to succeed in all areas.
Beautiful. We mate, wish him best of luck, and I'm sure he will do. And when it happens, hopefully November, mate, we're on. It's going to be good. We'll have a good time.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, mate. I've talked you up enough, I think, to everyone I train with here, and I'm like, guys, like the pressure. I'm like, you don't understand. I don't know what Khabib feels like, but I'd imagine it's something like this.
Mate, oh, I love it. I'm obsessed with it. It's you know, you're playful as well. He doesn't have to be crushing and cracking people. That's you could do, but it's not about that. It's just control, tight. And it's funny, you know, you say you like someone like Khabib. Again, it's all principle based. If you control certain areas of the body and be very anal about it, and you know, of course, there's many ways and certain ways to go about it, but it doesn't change the places where you control. And you know, then you've got using your whole body weight, and it comes together pretty easily, but that's the only really way you're going to do it if you want to be efficient or effective.
Mm.
Otherwise, it's going to be harder work, and connection is key. And I look forward to You squashed a few people.
Yeah, yeah. They're not going to have a choice in the matter. You mentioned to me the other day when we were having a chat, you said that I'm looking forward to getting melted by you soon. And you said it's changed a bit since then. So what have you figured out, or what's changed, and you know, in what kind of ways?
Every day, Brad, refining. It's just like every day you see something different, because I have I have 13 black belts of my own. I have clients that have been with me for a long time, maybe 25 years.
Yeah.
So I've got a variety of people to train with, in white belt, blue belt, purple, brown, black. In my teens, some of the teenagers, orange belts going to green belts, they're like, you learn off everybody. And it's just constantly refining, sticking to really being anal about principles and the concepts of the control points that you need to. And if you are, and it doesn't mean you're one-sided, you can go anywhere with it, but if you're really, really focused on it, you're going to see how easy it is to control someone. I don't know whether I said it last time, but you have two arms, you have two legs and a head, and they can only go certain areas. Some will be stronger, some will be more flexible, some will be more aggressive or whatever it may be, but there's still two arms, two legs and a head. And if that's your focus, and you can do everything off that control, you'll be surprised in what you can do. But that's what I want to share when I come over. And that's then your own mind, your own individuality, John's, they'll expand that.
Yeah.
Another change is going to come off those same areas. And it really does. It fascinates me, because then you can deal with big, small, erratic, aggressive, very super technical, whatever it comes. You'll be almost like a universal game, Brad.
Yeah. The ability to adapt and
work
with whatever's in front of you.
As long as you focus on those things that I think when people don't, maybe they don't even know, they don't even understand, then they're going to be focused on another arm lock or another this or another move per se, which is good, but that's not the first thing. That's going to be the last thing. It's going to be the icing on the cake, that move that you like or whatever it is, arm, leg or neck. And it's just constantly refining that, and it's beautiful. And every day, and also it depends, some of the things you can do, if someone maybe doesn't hold you down that tight, maybe you've got someone who's very loose, which is nobody really in the gym, then you can do whatever you want to do. You can move anywhere because there's too much space. But then now, like you got a Jay, you got a Mike Villachela, too many to list that are so good, heavy pressure. You go, cool, now you're going to be forced to know how to move and how honest you'd be to move. If there's space going on, you kind of kid it, you can get away with it in a certain degree. When there's no space, you're forced to be very smart. And when that flips upside down, because it's a bottom game to the top game, now you're like, you driving off and me jumping on your bonnet. But be really careful, you're going to get thrown off. And I don't mean thrown off, I mean rolled off. It's like like a rock. So yeah, fascinating. But I'm going to share all of that when I come see you.
I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to it. I really am. So the you've been, what have you been training at? Over 25 years yourself, right? 30 years even. Or jiu-jitsu 25. Years. 41. How long jiu-jitsu?
Jiu-jitsu 27 years.
27, yeah. Okay, that's right. I knew it was about 25 for some of it. So that's 41 years martial artist, 27 years jiu-jitsu. You're still improving every day. You said that you like learn off your students, but like, are there any other sort of things that you do to make sure you keep improving? Is it like a self-reflection thing, or are you going anywhere for specific content? Like what do you do to make sure that you like get past any plateaus that you're sort of faced with?
That's really interesting. You know what? I've been doing it so long that, and I'm coaching like one after the other. So I can go from a white belt to a black belt, to a brown belt, to a purple, to three black belts. And we're interacting all the time. So again, if you're looking at, what are you looking to achieve? Control of the arm, control of the neck, and control of the body in general. So you're constantly refining with those people, so that I'm learning off them. I'm coaching, but I've got the years, but you're learning off everyone. I'm learning off when I roll with you, because you have two arms, two legs and a head, then you have different types of whatnot. On top of that, mentality, understanding my mind far, far better. Because one fascinating thing is, if you control your mind, you're going to see so much access to your body if you're quiet in the mind. If you're too busy and you're thinking of moves and you're doing this, it's not going to happen. It might happen, but not to the best of your ability. It'll be erratic and it just won't be efficient. And it won't be calm.
You see that sometimes, You see that sometimes in people's jiu-jitsu, who people who can be attached to like a certain outcome, like they have to win, and when they're winning, things are like smooth and they look good. But then as soon as they're on the bottom and they're put under, maybe they're smooth and things are good initially, but as soon as they're put under pressure, or they feel that that danger of potentially losing, that's when they start to panic because they're attached to the outcome.
Mate, so well said.
And that's the, like, you're talking about, is staying calm in the mind, keeping control of your emotions, not being attached. Okay, I'm on the bottom. I need my structure, all that stuff.
Yes.
Find all that stuff first. Stay safe. Don't die. Structure, defend. Well, you say structure, defend, deploy, right?
That's what, structure, how you say. Survive, defend, deploy.
That's right.
You need a structure to survive it, so you can defend what's incoming, and then you can deploy. But the misconception is about is like, you're being safe. Thank you very much. Spot on. And that's the thing. When you're in that state and you can diffuse everything. And this is not arrogance. This is just the mindset and the body, what you're deploying. You diffuse everything. Well, then how long can you sustain yours for? If you're that person who goes all right until they start to get threatened and then start moving too quickly, you just mentioned, perfect. Because that's what I'm looking for. That's the way you're going to get people. That and other ways.
Yeah.
Head to head with someone and force things. There's a craft to it. You're such good players. Sorry, mate?
No, keep going. You're good. I thought I jumped in too soon.
No, not at all. But yeah, just smart. It's very intelligent.
Yeah, I remember we were having conversations. It might have even been on one of the podcasts we've done at your gym, maybe, or maybe it was just at your gym having. I can't even remember having a conversation. But see, this is the beauty of doing podcasts. I'm learning off people, talking to people, and things you say resonate. You know, like not just you, but other people as well. And it was, we talk physical, mental, emotional. Rah rah rah. But the conversation we're having at the time was that like. It doesn't matter who you are, what level you're at, but at some point in time, something's going to crack. It's going to be your physical, your mental, or your emotional. And as soon as it starts to crack, whichever one of those three that it is, that's when you're like, okay, now I'm going to, if your emotional starts to crack, I'm going to continue that path until it breaks and I get what I want. And that's the kind of thing about controlling your emotions and jiu-jitsu. I think we all know this, right? The more you train, the more competent you get, the more you understand. Even as a white belt, like if you're 6 months in, your ability to control yourself has to be so much more than what it would have been at the beginning.
Yes. Yeah.
I think that just amplifies over time. Like I'd say 6 years in now. And the more I train, the more I understand that. And so my favorite roles actually aren't necessarily like the 5 or the 6 minute timer ones where we kind of like just kind of scrap. My favorite roles are the ones where there's not really a time limit. We're just going, and then it's like when you're 10 minutes in, you're 15 minutes in and you realize, oh, like there's no way out here. Like there's no one saying like time is up. It's like, no, I'm like, underneath someone and the actual I've had these realizations through COVID. So when I was in Sydney and we were like all full lockdown, one of my mates, Maddie, he's a purple belt, now a brown belt at higher, who like someone who's always kind of pushing me as well. I'm always on the receiving end of his beatings, not on the like beatings, but obviously he's got the edge on me, so I'm kind of the one suffering more than him most of the time. And we're at my house, we had 4 square mats, we kind of like had a little space in the room and we were like just grappling for like 40 minutes straight. And there was one point the grapple was going for like 20-30 minutes, and I'm all good, I'm like just heavy pressure trying to melt him, trying to like wear him out, all these things. And then next thing you know, I'm on the bottom and I'm under him for 5 minutes. It takes me 5 minutes to get out. I manage to get out. I get back to the top and then I end up back on the bottom and I'm stuck there for like 10 minutes and I can't get out. And he's just, putting the work on me, and I'm trying to stay safe and keep my structures, do all the right things. But I kind of like had that realization, and we'd kind of like had a little bit of a toke too, I'd had that realization like, oh, there's no timer here. There's no one coming to save me. Like this is my reality. I'm stuck underneath Matt's mount and like there's nowhere to go. Like I have to find a way to not just get out, but to stay safe right now.
Mm.
And that's when you're faced, those questions come up, like that you start to question yourself, right? Like those questions, and you need to like push that away and remain calm and not panic and continue to just live in the reality of being trapped underneath someone's mount when you can't get out and you're fucking trapped. But they haven't killed you yet. But they're not far away from doing it. All you need to do is make one mistake or let that mental or that emotional or that physical crack. And if it does, everything else is going to go.
Man, absolutely. And it's so true. And that's what's fascinating. You can't do anything and that was very well said, bro. You're spot on. You can't do anything in 5 minutes because if I walked by you and you were rolling, I said to you, Brad, I want you to submit him. I want you to submit him in 2 minutes. Go. And you're like, well, you're forcing it.
Yeah.
That's not good. It doesn't mean that you're not going to submit him. You are actually going to get him. It's just I'm going to get him in a whole new way and I have to be smart about it. Because anything forced, you're dealing with like millimeters. You know, you're talking about Master Joe. And of course, I always learn off Master Joe also. Joe's very big principles. And Joe says to me one day, you know, stick to the principles or you're dead for sure. He's actually got a shirt with it. And yeah. It's so true, though, because the way those principles are, that's it's just fact. It makes sense. It's like animal. You know, certain things that you have to do is extremely important. And this is an eighth degree coral belt, 55 years of jiu-jitsu. You know, he's figured ways of doing things and sharing it. That doesn't mean he has his way to roll, but the principles never change. I roll me like me, you roll like you. The individuality is there, but you're so correct, bro. And when you've got someone on top of you, you do so well. I applaud all my clients for just keeping it together. Just tonight, I'm watching one of my clients, or six of my clients, eight of my clients rolling. And they're just so calm and technical and patient. And each one of those people have brought in different days. You know, good days, bad days, so calm. And, you know, the self-control that you showed underneath your friend and the same self-control that my clients show all the time and we do is phenomenal. That's number one. And then you know what? If you can control yourself, now you can be tactical and strategic. If you're too busy dying, like you said before, you're just going to make silly decisions, right? Panic decisions. You know what you're saying before? Someone's crushing you on top and maybe your hands got trapped.
Yeah.
Fork in your wrist, even that people would panic over. You wouldn't, but you'd be surprised, or not surprised, you've been doing jiu-jitsu for a long time, of what people, average person does not like that, bro. And you've got people who are trained at it that you can bubble up and make them not like that as well. So there's a certain level of this. We taught Master Joe, being under Master Joe, I've been under him for an hour, 50 minutes. The first time I roll with Joe, wow, amazing. You know, you talk about trapped. There's pretty much not a lot you're going to be able to do. Of course, a human being, but you go, the understanding is beautiful. So that was a control in itself. I was like, that's beautiful. 27 years ago, I probably would have cried.
Yeah. it's hard to fathom how, like, good he must be, you know, like even the professor, Professor Sauer, but I've never had the privilege of rolling with him myself, but like I've been stuck under your mount and something that we talk about getting stuck under mount. I remember rolling with you and I'm not sure if you remember this, but you had me on a mount and you suffocated me with your chest. Do you remember that?
I do remember.
You do remember?
Yeah.
Fuck, you know, I remember I went home that day and I was just like, oh my God, like what the, I was just like, you didn't attack my arm. You didn't have a hand in my collar. You literally mounted me and suffocated me with your chest. Like I was in, for anyone like listening, like where your sternum is, he'd like just placed it perfectly over my face pretty much. And there was no like, it wasn't rude. It wasn't cruel. There was like just heavy pressure, but a beautiful finesse to it. And I was stuck and I had nowhere to go. And at first I was trying to like turn my face away and like find like space to breathe. Cause I was like, you know, there was no submission as such. So I wasn't tapping, but like there just became the reality where my world was closing in and I was like going to pass out and I had to tap. And I was like, okay, well you got me. And I just, I still think about that from time to time. You know, that's a trauma I live with every day. No, it's not. It's you know not. I swear to God, I'll never forget it. And I've told people about it. But like, it's just one of those things that just showed me the skill level gap there really can be. Because I've been submitted by so many people and, you know, mauled. But like, to be controlled, pinned, and suffocated like that is a whole nother level.
You know, and
you feeling that kind of pressure underneath Joe Moreira, and me having felt it from you, I just can't imagine how much he can deliver.
Yeah, mate. And it's so beautiful, though. That's the thing you just saying before about. That's what I pride myself on, and you know, a long time, and I've been doing this until I'm not here anymore, mate. That's my goal. It's just about, you know, efficiency and effectiveness and understanding your body. Everyone's got a body and a mind, and you control them the best you can, big, smaller, and different.
Mm.
Amazing things. You're so heavy, it'd be 50 kilos, feel like 200 kilos. It's all in the control. And, you know, when you have control over people, and that's the game that I always aspire to, always work towards, is if I can do that to you, I can take whatever I want from you then. Joe says, has a saying, oh, you know, make me happy. You give to me.
Just no, it make me happy.
Yeah, you won't have a choice. Give it up. And I go, how good is that? Because then you can be, you know what, at that point, you know, and onwards, you play. Then self-defense or winning competitions or defending yourself or playing at a challenge on the mats or even just then having a child of 10 years old to play with. You're so good, you can control yourself in all those environments, turn it up, turn it down, and it's beautiful. And it's the human body. It's how the human body works. Everyone has an amazing mind and amazing body. Maybe some people don't look after their body not well enough, and even more important, their mind. They don't really know maybe what to work on. You're looking at trying to do lots of moves and learn lots of moves, but you haven't got control of your mind and body. If that makes sense. Those moves are not going to be there. Not to be disrespectful, but you say, if you haven't got your control of your mind and body, you're not going to make good decisions. That means you're not going to be good at that armbar that you're good at, that you want to be at, or whatever it may be. So if you're a head case, the moves aren't going to be there. You need to quieten your mind, and then everything will be, you'll feel everything. Do you know when you're quiet, before you think how you would have responded to that gentleman that got on top of you, and I'm speaking for you, of course, but maybe not so well, you know, in your mind, panicking. I said to someone the other day, when was the last time you've been scared or you felt anxious or frustrated or angry underneath someone? Back in the day, egos, you see it all the time on the mats, and that, you know what, judging anyone, we're just saying it happens. There's the emotional part.
Mm.
Crap day, frustrated, having a fight with his partner, whatever it is, and they come together and it's just that wrong little mix. And you go, hey, man, it's all about controlling yourself. Then you struggle to pass the guy's guard or do something with the person because you've let your mind go. You go, mate, when your mind's quiet, no problems, pass that person, easy. Mind goes, go back to gray belt.
Fascinating. Mm. Mm.
This is your first thing, the 100% to control. And that's, and you know, when you were saying before about getting better, okay, physically, mentally, I'm always looking after myself physically, but mentally, just learning control and staying calm and, yeah, just knowing my body and how it moves and how it thinks, and not, I'm a human being, I can attach to things as well, but try to stay cool. Not emotionless, you've got to feel emotion. It's good to feel a little bit scared, good to feel a little bit frustrated, whatever, but learning to control it and not letting it take control of you. And then for sure, somebody who you're rolling with or fighting or whatever you're doing, you're going to lose because you already lost your mind. Control your mind. Beautiful.
So for someone who's listening and they don't like understand, like, you know, where you're coming from, how, from your perspective, I know this is quite an objective thing to say, like control your mind, but where would you start?
Control your mind. You got to have like, and we're not
talking self-awareness here, you know, like, because this is a deep, this goes so far, you know, I hear what you're saying, but I guess I'm just trying to open up the conversation for how someone can start to be more considerate of these things, you know?
You know what, mate? I think that's an excellent question. And we go off on a tangent, but I would say some simple things, because I was saying to a client the other day, you know, what's the best thing to give children, and not just children, adults, so anybody, but self-esteem. Self-esteem, self-worth. That's what the jiu-jitsu gives people and martial arts gives people. So if you want to trust your decisions, because being better on the mats and in life and whatnot is trusting your decisions, isn't it? If you're not a very good decision maker and you doubt yourself and you're not good enough or whatever it is, on the mats, off the mats. So then you've got to empower yourself. So if you want to start by controlling your mind, you've got this like inner confidence, like money in the bank, it's in the back, is disciplining yourself. And we're not talking about whatever you want to do whatever you want to do. Just discipline yourself, control it. Control yourself, so workout. Workout's one for me. I love working out for lots of reasons, not just the discipline side of it, but I love just working out. For lots of reasons, going in the cold pool, but all those things. So I go in every day to the cold, even at some days I'm like, oh, it's really cold. You go get in, and it's just a little like a power up. So if you thought of your power like Tekken or something, it was 100%. Every time you like don't do a workout or miss the pool for me, let's say, or eat really poorly, and on a consistent basis, your power goes like this.
Yeah,
you got to keep your power up. So you go, right, I'm going to eat right. It's okay, eat chips, eat whatever you want, but just, you know, eat well, have some discipline, and then eat stuff on the side. And so you start disciplining yourself, and then you start feeling self-controlled and self-empowerment. And then when you start going to jiu-jitsu, because you're feeling better about yourself, then anything you do on the mats will come out better. But if you're a little bit lazy and slack off on things, you're not really that disciplined, and you doubt yourself, and then you go on the mats and you think it's going to change, it's going to be harder.
That's yeah.
Going to help you, but it's going to be you going on the mats with that is your first step to be better on the mats. So I stay calm because I've got confidence of who I've been under, and but also in my own ability to stay calm, so I can be calm. But I've had to build that up over time. You know, I remember 5 years ago, black belt judo choked me unconscious. It was in my guard. Absolute idiot. He gets in the guard. I wasn't being aggressive. I think I was like white one or something. And he just choked me unconscious. And they go, wow, what a mental midget. And it was actually quite peaceful. I just went to sleep for a brief second and I woke up. I was like, what the hell was that? So it didn't really offend me. It annoyed me though, because I thought, how lack of self-control does that guy have? I wasn't like going nuts on him. You've experienced similar things, you know, and people go silly for no reason. Yeah. So I go, no self-control. I would never do that to someone, because you have self-control. I may control my mind, and I'm disciplined myself. So let's say, because I'm heavier than you, Brad, I can not really do that technique 100% of it. I'll just do 50%. I'll be lazy with it because I can get away with it. When I go do it to someone bigger, I won't get away with it. So I have to be disciplined all day with that. So I focus on certain things and really make sure I'm disciplined and doing it. One thing I do in the car, you may laugh or whatever, I would say like a stimulus response. You want to get into the habit of being disciplined. And one of my examples, I actually do this myself and I share this with clients. So you know, what's the stimulus response? I said, well, you know, you've got to train what you want. So you've got to do what you need to do all the time for it to be a natural response. So indicating is one. If you drive home night shift, mate, and never indicate, because there's never anyone on the road. But you know, when you go back on the road in the daytime, you're going to get a lot of horns because you're not indicating. So indicate before you go, even though there's no one behind. There's a discipline.
Yeah.
I don't need to, but I'm going to anyway.
Here's another one. Check your fucking blind spot.
Yeah. Discipline.
Yeah.
Just take the time out to do it. But you go, all these things that make sense, like you're building money in the bank.
Yeah.
You're disciplining yourself everywhere. So then when you want to go do something like jiu-jitsu or something you love, you'll feel more confident at it. And we could go off on a tangent on building on that. But that, I'd say, is the first step to a bit of self-control. If you're looking for self-control on the mats, pull moves, control your mind. What about your self-control off the mats?
Yeah.
Perfection, enjoy yourself, have fun. We're just saying have control.
Mate, I absolutely love that. And I think something that I'd add to it would be, you know, let's say you go out there tomorrow, someone listening, they go out there and they're like, okay, I like these ideas. I'm going to start trying to like implement a little bit of discipline and self-control in my life. And the better I do at it, maybe they'll identify the things they need to improve. Is like the number one thing is like they eat bad all the time and they don't sleep well. So yeah, they're going to start eating a little bit cleaner. They're going to start sleeping a little bit earlier, start getting the money in the bank, build those credits up. You're going to start getting the discipline. With that will be the self-esteem, all these things, like the trickle effect that comes, right?
Yes.
I would say, cool, great, you've started doing these things, but also have some patience with yourself, because we're not all, you know, it's not like you just start and now you're sweet and you're on your way. It's like, no, you're going to have setbacks. You're going to pig out. You're going to go to bed late. Real change takes time. So have patience with it and have like faith that over time you will get on the path you need to be on and then stay there, right?
Mate, so true. And, you know, and like you said, patience. We talk about patience on the mats all the time, the parallels. Patience in life as well. And stop beating yourself up. You know what I'd say to people? Start loving yourself. Whatever you look like, you know, take control of yourself and love yourself. I said to a client the other day, when was the last time you did something that empowered you, that made you feel powerful? You know, I haven't got time. Mate, you must. Then you can be better for everybody else. It's just so, so important, mate. But self-worth is your number one thing. And you know what? If you do pig out, you're eating really well, no worries. You say, how many chances do you get to try again? As many as you want. It's simple. That's what life is, isn't it? It's like being on the mats and getting submitted. Oh, you're rubbish, bad. No, whatever, man. You go do it and you get 10 times get submitted. Just keep trying and you're figuring ways out. You're figuring better ways. But you've got to go like this. Everyone thinks that's abnormal. That's normal. You got to go with the ebbs and the flows, mate. And I'll say, if your life's going to throw lots of different things at you, finances, you're going to lose grandma, whatever it is, mate, whatever it is that comes, talking about physically, mentally, emotionally, if you're not physically, mentally, emotionally powerful within yourself, physically, mentally, emotionally, in everything that you do, and you're working on it constantly. We're not saying you're perfect at it, but you're working on it. And anything that comes at you in life, you're going to feel like you've got some armor. You're going to feel good. Of course, you're going to be sad with grandma. You're going to be whatever, but you have armor. Now, if you go through life physically, mentally, emotionally, weak, anything, doesn't even need to be big, anything, small little stones, mate, it just crumble you. Everything's hard. And that's when it's sad, when you see people like that. And why are they like that? Lots of different reasons. But one is self-worth. Maybe they're not around their environment. They should be. All their friends, negative. Family's negative, whatever. They're in a yellow sand. Also, then you've got to put yourself into rich soil. That might mean cutting off some people that are no good for you. We're not talking about being mean. We're just talking about, you know, getting into a better place of soil. Get rid of the yellow sand. Get into the soil, and then you can grow. There's lots of different ways. But I do. I'm actually fascinated with the mind, because the mind rules everything, doesn't it? You've always heard it, but the mind controls the body. Well, the body and the mind go together. Let's put it that way. It's an embodiment. So you feel. And I think when you know yourself better, you're in control of yourself better, you feel more. And I truly believe 41 years of martial arts has actually taught me that. I've had a very beautiful family, good upbringing, lots of rich soil around me. But, you know, it's been taught me a lot about feel. And if you feel, cool. If you feel good, the thing about self-esteem there, Brad, if you've got self-esteem, you're free. If you don't, you're dictated by what everyone else has to say about you. If you've got self-esteem, no one else's opinion matters.
Yeah.
You know, yours, and then you'll attract all the people that you need to attract, that you need to be around, and they'll attract theirs.
Yeah. But
self-esteem is number one. So that's what I would say to people. What are you doing to empower yourself? Do 10 push-ups, eat better, and take control of yourself. You take control of yourself, you go, wow, it's not about body beautiful. Sure, you get buff, figure, whatever you want. You go, it's about taking control of yourself. Take command of yourself, number one. Small bits. Doesn't have to be big. I like you to say your patience, small bits.
Yeah, love it, mate. Love it. That's I could talk about this kind of stuff all day.
Me too, bro. Me too. I love it. I do. I spend days talking about this to clients because it's so important, bro. And I'm not saying I'm no master at it, but I do it all day, every day, and I can turn it up and turn it down.
Yeah.
I'm myself on and off. And I used to struggle with that a while ago. long while ago, but you felt like your foot's on the accelerator all the time because you're dealing with emotions all day, you're connected to people all day, physical all day, and it was like,
yeah,
hard to. Oof. So now workouts are good for me. Actually, when I get offline with you, I'm going to go do a quick 15 minutes out the back, and then.
Is that something that you deal with every day, right? Like, in my role now at work, you know, I do sales, software sales. I'm on the phone all the time calling people. Mm. It hasn't been too bad, like getting drained. Sometimes it could be hard to switch off.
Yes.
But yeah, I know the feeling you're talking about of like you're with clients all day, every day. You're talking, you're client, you know, constantly exchanging energy. And in your role, like you play the role of the leader or the teacher, right? Like, and you're not just as the coach teaching jiu-jitsu, you also, like some, you know, some gyms you might go to and they'll just teach techniques and moves and everything is just like, just the skill, jiu-jitsu, the skill. You're like a friend, a father figure. You're like, you play a lot of other roles, I think, to a lot of other people, right? Like you have these kind of like big brother, like arm on the shoulder type talks and stuff like that. Like we've had them before, you know?
Yeah.
And that, I'd imagine also drains you too, right? Like, because you're giving so much of yourself to other people, it probably leaves you, your tank a bit empty at the end of the night. And that's what you got to go home and kind of reload by what? Spending time with the family, working out by yourself, jumping in the cold plunge, all that sort of stuff. Is that how, that's like kind of how you get all that done?
Mate, you know me well, mate. Yeah. Spot on. Yeah, that is my reset, mate. But I am very lucky and worked hard to create the environment, but I'm very, very lucky as the people I deal with. And I love all the people I coach,
yeah,
my clients, and they're friends, you know, not just clients, they're all friends. You know, I love them. They're great human beings. But yeah, no, definitely you need energy, good energy, bad energy, whatever it may be. You need to cleanse it, don't you? You need to, and people talk about that back in the day, 20 years ago, that's bullshit, mate. And I go, nah, mate, energy is real. I go to the shops, I say to a client, I go to the shops for an hour, I'm exhausted, mate.
Yeah.
Like, I'm more exhausted going to the shops for an hour than coaching for 10 hours. That I believe that's like energy, different people is going a million miles an hour, or maybe that's just me, but it's exhausting. If I go headphones, I'm not with my boys and Nikki, I go headphones, music and podcasts, get in the shops, get out.
Yeah.
So yeah, bro, 100%. And that is how I, yeah, reconnect or recharge, or all of the above. And again, it's just about taking discipline. But that's a discipline. I can do workouts 3 times a day, 1 in the morning, midday, and then at night, just because I can and I feel good. I enjoy it. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, certain sequences and stuff. Or even if it's very late, I'll still do it. Because my
A little bit, a lot.
A little, a lot, bro. That's actually a good friend of mine, Edo Tactics.
Yeah.
That was his saying. I thought that was so cool. A little, a lot.
Yeah.
A little, a lot. 100%. Because then you're never worn out and it's efficient, right? It's effective.
And the thing, you've got like a good thing, right? Like even if you are getting drained at the end of a night from time to time, you're aware enough to be grateful for the things you have. Like obviously you've got clients that you love and a lot of them are friends as well, but you've crafted through 41 years of martial arts, 27 years jiu-jitsu, crafted the ability to do what you love for a living. So even if you do go home drained, I'm sure also fulfilled too, and grateful to be able, in a position you're in, to pass on your knowledge and to do something like this, which otherwise, I think from memory, you're a postman in a previous career, is that right?
Yeah, I was a post to getting the gym off the ground for 10 years, mate.
There you go. Like I don't know what you felt about that role, but you potentially could still be doing that. And I don't know, would you be happy? You know?
No, because this is what I do, mate. This is everything for me now. I mean, always has been, but I'm 46 now. And, you know, just everything's purpose, mate. It has to have purpose on the mats. You know, we're talking about all the time. Life has to have purpose. This is truly, I feel, without, I don't know, it doesn't sound cringe or whatever. I don't really care. It is what it is. I mean, this is my purpose, mate. I feel like since 4 and a half, I've obsessed with martial arts. I used to go in my room, kick and punch, not aggressively, just technically. My mum goes, you're going to do something with martial arts in the future. I was at 4 and a half. Now at 41, that's what I'm doing. But also, I feel I have a knack. I hate saying a knack. I have a gift for people. I really do. I can see people. I can see lots of things different people, and it's nice to lift people because I feel good myself. So if I feel good, I need to pass that on. Does that make sense?
Yeah, of course.
Down days as well, of course, but I feel pretty good. So yeah. I want to make sure that other people feel good. And when you see people maybe not achieving something, and you know, whether you know them or you don't, I even feel that with people you don't know. I saw a lady at the counter the other day, four people just walk in front of her and she was first. I thought, that's just so unconfident. And I thought, you know, that shouldn't be like that. I felt like saying, hey, she's actually next, but you know, I was trying to be cool with it, but I felt really sorry for her. I wanted to lift her up so she can see her potential. And then, because if you're always held back in some way, shape or form, and everyone's always dealing with something, but you know, for the most part, that's always a constant. But having confidence is, you're going to enjoy your life so much better. You're not going to be hold back. You're not going to hold back. So it's so, so important.
What's the, this here, is this new?
The tattoo?
Yeah, the one on the left hand.
It is. Both of them are new. There's a tiger.
Yeah.
And a phoenix. And I have mana on my hand. And an energy. There's the energy for you. And I dabbled with the hands, mate, I got my first tattoo at 24. So 22 years ago. I love tattoos. I've never regretted one of them. I love them all. And I was dabbling with the hands. Should I get the hands? Should I not? Because it's, you know, people already look at you like you're going to mug them or something, which I don't have a problem with, but it's quite interesting. And I thought, you know what? Bollocks. I'm 46. I love the tattoos. I've got tattoos everywhere else. Why not have them on my hands? Because I've always wanted to do it anyway. So
yeah, let's have a little look. Let's have a look. Because I noticed the, Oh, the tiger. That looks dope. Yeah, the tiger, I didn't notice that one being new, but the phoenix, I think as soon as you jumped on, I seen it. I was like, that's new. Yeah, that looks good.
Energy, everything's possible.
Yeah,
the rock said in his rap song Mana.
I was looking at when I was first doing designs for Art of Surrender for the merch and stuff. The phoenix was something that I was looking because my color's like orange, so I was looking at kind of having like phoenix kind of like rising from the ashes into the rash guard, but obviously didn't end up doing that.
Yeah, that looked pretty cool though. I quite like that. Is the good colors, there's the right colors. Tattoos, mate, I love tattoos. That's actually the second time we've done this. It's because they drop out on your hands, because I'm using my hands a lot. I'm boxing a lot and grappling and using my hands, so they rub off. But it's cool. I just keep touching it up. And I actually really enjoy it. Tattoos are very therapeutic. There's some really uncomfortable spots, but I find them actually quite therapeutic. Every time you go to get one, I don't even know how many I got, well over 100. But every time you go get one and he touches me, I go, oh, I forgot about that. It's like a little reminder. And there's another kind of, maybe that's a discipline thing. I never really thought about it until now, but I enjoy that. I enjoy I have to self-control. I had one on my stomach done. Oh, it was the worst.
Do you have to the whole time you get? Because I don't have any tattoos, so people at home listening might be like, "Fucking, you know, whatever." But is it like after a certain amount of time? Because I don't know. But after a certain amount of time, do you just not even notice it? Like, does the pain just dissipate completely, or are you constantly like, "I just got to suck eggs, keep myself control until this is done"? Is that what it's like?
Mate, yeah, you have to keep yourself in control, because if you start, it hurts, you're going to accept it. And then however long it's going to be, 5 minutes, probably not going to get a tattoo done in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Accept it. And that's beautiful, bro. And it is a challenge in itself. And it's definitely the mindset you go in with. So the one that I said was really sore on my stomach. I was having what I would call like a soft day. You know, you get up and you kick your toe and you're like, and you bang your head. Oh, other days you could click your toe, bang your head, like, whatever. Anyway, I was having a soft day and I had a tattoo booked on it. It was very short anyway. It's my tattooist. There's going to be 10 minutes. And my eldest son, he actually came over with me because it wasn't far away. And we were there for 15 minutes getting his tattoo done. And it was uncomfortable. Mate. My eldest son was like, "Dad, soft." And I was like, "No, seriously, I'm struggling." But I went into a really weak mindset. I was like, "Oh," and then anyway, got it done. And it was done very quickly, which I was happy about. But all the others, I have had one on my leg, 6 hours.
Okay.
A constant 5 hours and it goes into a numbing. So your body, but then your immunity just goes, that's enough. So by the 6 hour, I felt like I had a flu. Well, like call it a day, go home. I felt like two hours, but like a big flu. And then stress, and then boom. So your immunity, your body will go, that's enough. I have little things all over me, so they're not that long. That's probably my longest. But yeah, interesting. I actually quite enjoy them, to be quite honest. And maybe thinking now as we're actually talking, maybe that is a thing for me subconsciously. But I do it. I like the tattoos. I just like
the thing
that works. Doesn't matter how they are, whatever, they're upside down. They mean it to me. It doesn't matter what anyone else sees.
I've always liked the idea of getting one. Just don't know what I want. That's the thing. Maybe I'm just indecisive. I've always thought to myself and my brother as well, you know, I'm an identical twin. Our pop, we've always said, well, he's like our father figure, you know. We've always said when he passes away, we might get some sort of, you know, tribute tattoo for him. And maybe that's not going to be too far away now because he's like in palliative care. So maybe we'll be talking about tattoos, you know, in a little bit. But I reckon that might be the driver. When that happens, I might go, fuck it, I'm getting it done.
Go get it. And I bet you $10 it won't be your last one. That's a good purposeful tattoo, respect for your granddad.
Yeah.
People think, and everyone eats to their own. Cool. Not everyone, you know, everyone's different. That's fine. But I feel everything, bro. I saw a quote on TV, Bruce Lee, to be a martial artist that is also to be an artist of life. I saw that on a Friday night on a documentary. I was like, that is wicked. So I call up my tattooist and I said, what are you doing tomorrow? And I went and got it done the next day. That's if I feel it, I do it. If I don't, I don't do it.
So you've got that quote on you?
I've got that quote on me, right? It's right on this side.
How long you had that? Have you just had a heap of new tattoos or something? Because I know you. I've obviously seen. Oh yeah, you've had that one for ages. I know. Yeah.
Had it for a long time, but that resonates. If it resonates with you, the everything I have resonates with me. I don't need to think about it. I go, what do you think it looks like? Because I don't really care what anyone else thinks in respect. It's only what I feel for it, and then whether people might like it or they might not like it, but it's everything what you feel. So you go, that's a great one for pop.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. Have you got how much time have you got left?
My phone was just there flashing in. My apologies. So it needs to be recharged soon.
All righty. I was going to ask you, I'll ask you one last thing. And then if you like, I'll let you go. We can always do another one anytime.
Love to.
Humble. I know you're wearing your hoodie there, mate. It looks great. You've got the matching pants. I think you've got two different designs. You've been working with them for a lot. So, with Humble and Luke for like all your gear lately. So yeah, interested sort of, mate, it all looks good. How's that been going? I want to know if he's had a chance to sort of feel your pressure yet.
He hasn't because he hurt his knee. So yeah. I'm definitely getting in contact with him and we'll have a play. I like Luke. He's a nice guy. And I go through Humble because Humble, I love the name behind it, Humble. And, you know, Luke's got a story, like everyone's got a story, and I like it. I like his story. And I like the Humble brand. He's cool. He's really nice to deal with. He's professional. No problems. And, you know, I've been doing merchandise for a long time. Spent a lot of money on merchandise with different people over time. And Luke's really professional to deal with, lovely guy, and he's got a good purpose and a good organic energy behind what he's doing. You know, and I like that. So he's going to be super – he's already successful now. He's going to be super successful. Good. He deserves it, but it's coming from a pure place, and that's why I want to help him out. He's local, and, help him out, mate. It's good. It's good to support people like that's who you're there. He's in his rich soil. He's not a threat. I'm not a threat. You're not a threat. You know, like people live in this world.
Yeah.
It's a rich soil, mate. You know, it's beautiful. And
I've bloody, even doing my own rash guards, people have like asked questions. It's like, I have some of his gear. Man, I like his gear. I've got some. I don't give a, you know, if you like it, you like it, right? No one's competing with anyone about any of this sort of stuff. And I've even testament to that, you said he's a good guy. I don't know too much about his story. And I'd love to have him on the podcast. We've talked about it like, you know, over the years and stuff. I'm sure it'll happen. It's just one of those things. We just haven't gotten it done, but we will. He he's checked in on me a bunch of times after my injury because, as you mentioned, he hurt his knee. So he's had an ACL reconstruction. He's a little bit, he's quite a bit further down the track on his recovery now. But he still reached out to me, checked in, how's your surgery going? How's your leg? Like, any questions, like, feel free to reach out. And, like, yeah, good guy.
Yeah, mate, that's it. Like, good soul, mate. That's what I go with, mate. I go with soul, energy again, soul, whatever you want to call it. You know, you're on the same vibration as people. And if people would support people more, not stooge people, though, not rip them off or whatever, just there's room for everybody and everybody's got their own thing and everybody can grow. Like, people stunned and stifle and bitch and moan and, mate, it's disgraceful. You're like, why would you waste your energy? Just do what you do. And if you're genuine about what you're doing, you're going to be successful about it because you are genuine. If you're not genuine, you're not going to be successful about it. This is pretty simple. That comes back down to self-worth, self-belief, self-esteem, and all the discipline that drives all of it. You know, he's had to deal with, I'm sure, lots of different things. He'd have quite the stress, mate, with all these orders going on and his branding, his promotion. And I believe he has a full-time job also. So, yeah, good on him, mate. He's keeping it together, right? And then he got an injury and he was spewing. I think he's on top of his black belt. So then he's done what he's done and gone, right, I'm gonna stay cool. We'll go again. Real jiu-jitsu man, mate. Real martial artist. I love it.
He's close. He's brown belt, right? He's pretty close.
I believe so. I believe he would have been possibly black belt by now, I'd say.
Yeah.
But that's going to come to him, mate, and it's worth it. And he showed that's the part that he needs off the mats, isn't it? That's the black belt off the mats. Can't be a black belt if you've got no self-control. He's showing self-control now. He's had to sit out for 9 months or whatever it may be, as are you. So there's power, that's discipline. Give you confidence when you go back on the mats, mate. I know I can control my mind. I know I kept it together. We'll go.
Mate, yeah, high performer. Yeah, you mentioned another full-time job. I'm pretty sure, pretty confident in saying he's a diesel mechanic. And I know... I'm pretty sure he was doing FIFO. I don't know, you know, what his work situation looks like now, if he's still doing FIFO or, you know, that sort of stuff now, but that's what he was doing when he started Humble. But yeah, so obviously juggling different hats, you know.
And it has a dream, you know, it has a dream to want to do this. I saw something on his Instagram, we're talking about it, like a vision board.
Yeah.
Mate, purpose, you know, that's what you want. That's what you want to do. Don't be afraid to go get it. Oh, come on, Brad, you can't have your own gear, mate. Yeah, I can. no, it's not going to be massive. Yeah, it will be as massive as you want it to be, mate. And you've already got people like Mark Trowbridge, one of my black belt students and good friend, Clarity Jiu-Jitsu.
Yeah.
He's got a whole crew of those guys wearing it, dude. Like, super cool, man. So, yeah. So everybody
wearing my stuff.
Yeah, wearing your stuff. Don't be afraid to go try something. You weren't afraid to go try that. I wasn't afraid to go try Humble. I don't know whether I was the first guy to do it with him or whatever it was. Mate, beautiful. I don't need everyone to – I go with how I feel about him. You go with him. And that's how everyone should make their decisions. Don't be holding back. Next year after, next thing you know, you're 50, you're 60, you're 70, you're 80. Mate, what are you doing? Let's go. Yeah. It's good.
I even considered doing my stuff through Humble, like when I, but the problem is, man, I'm kind of like a little bit of a, like I like to build shit from scratch and do it myself, you know, and that's what it is. Like I just wanted to bring it to life by myself. And if it gets to the point, cause I'm going to do a little Shopify store, I think at some point. Just like little thing on the side, man, just for some merch for the podcast, keep sharing, keep putting these out, have something to show for it. Like physically, that was what I wanted. Cause this is kind of like audio only, but something tangible people can hold.
Yeah.
That's kind of like what made me commit to doing that. And I'll do a couple more runs, but if I do get sick of it, maybe that's the next option, is to go through someone else and they can kind of alleviate a lot of the work for me. The design and the supplier, all that stuff. I can just go to him, work with him, get it done.
Yes. And, you know, and I think it's important, you go, it doesn't take anything away from the hardware that you've done, that you've created. you know, whatever it may be, this is my brand on it, sustainable jiu-jitsu, but I like his humble thing on it. And I believe, and I hope I'm not speaking out of turn there, but I'm pretty sure that you don't have to have his logo on it anyway. He can do it without it. But it's just nice to, yeah, you know.
Yeah.
It doesn't take anything away from what you've done, mate. That's awesome. And then just like you said, you can have some collab and...
Mate, I'd love to do that. Yeah, absolutely. A little collab, like a little mixed design. That'd be great. Sign me up. I'll do that.
have you seen the cam geese that he did for me?
Yes.
So it's got my logo on it. It's got Master Joe's logo on it. And also it's got the humble, but he did the cool army.
Yeah.
Like sergeant. Super cool, mate. And the little humble. And there's another cool thing about that logo. Very cool. Love it, mate. The little humble guy.
Yeah, the little praying guy.
Yeah, super cool, mate. Super cool.
You know, that's I think he actually does his own, I think he does the artwork himself for all this.
He does. I give him some idea. Well, I give him what I want on it, and then he'll put some stuff together, and then change it as many times as you want to change it. He'll do it. And that's hard work in itself, mate. I don't have the software to do that. I could get it, but he's the guy that does it. That's his thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I appreciate it. Like, I looked at that design and I thought, that's really cool, man. It's a cool little touch. So there's a knack for it, isn't it? I have my knack. He has his knack. You have yours. And every individual that's watching, they have theirs. So don't be afraid. Go empower yourself and go do it and share what you're passionate about. So cool.
Yeah. So that's the message then. Leave it. If we're to wrap it up now, the message, what is to empower yourself?
Mate, empower yourself, believe in yourself. I have three monics: self-belief, self-control, self-protection. Self-protection will give you the other two, mate. Self-esteem, all three.
Mate, appreciate it. It's an absolute pleasure, James.
Mate,
love having you on. I never like plan too much, think too much. I never know what we're going to talk about, but I know we're just going to jump on. We're going to have a yarn and an hour's going to pass and it's going to be over. So, mate.
I enjoy your company and keep your mind and your body together, mate. You've done really well. Proud of you for keeping it together, mate. You've done super well. And then the light is near, mate. The jiu-jitsu. I'm really hope to see you in November.
Mate, I promise you, I will get my purple belt someday. It'll happen.
You will.
I've had enough setbacks, but I'm too far down the path to turn back. I'm going, there's only one way here, and that's forward.
Mate, you're a real jiu-jitsu man, mate.
Thanks, James. I'll speak to you soon, mate. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, sir. Thanks, guys. Take care.
There we go.